This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Craig Cuny has spent the last 3 months driving around Chechnya in a battered Russian ambulance, searching for his father, Fred Cuny, an American relief worker who disappeared there April 7th. Fred Cuny was on a humanitarian mission, conducting a medical assessment of Chechnya for the Open Society Institute. It was hardly the first time Fred Cuny had put himself in harm's way. He's devoted his life to repairing places that have been destroyed by war or natural disaster. One of his greatest accomplishments was restoring water and gas lines in Sarajevo while the city was under fire. After he disappeared in Chechnya, his reputation was further enhanced by a MacArthur Award. Fred Cuny joined us twice on Fresh Air. The last time was about 6 weeks before he disappeared. His 28-year-old son, Craig, is funding his search through the Soros Foundation, which was also funding his father's relief work. Craig has briefly returned home to San Antonio to renew his visa. Earlier today, I asked Craig why he organized his own search, even though the Russian and American governments were already involved in searches.
I've worked with my father in a couple of different operations before, most recently in Bosnia. And I think that I just kind of thought that maybe I'd have an insight to kind of the way he works and maybe some of the things he might have been thinking. To be honest with you, I saw myself as going crazy sitting around here waiting on anybody else to do the things. And I also, just with a little bit of experience working alongside him, I thought that maybe I could introduce some ideas that other people hadn't thought of, and maybe I could get in some areas that other people perhaps weren't able to or willing to go into.
Can you tell us about one of those ideas that you had because you know your father so well?
Well, a lot of times he would go into areas that, you know, most organizations are kind of, you know, dictated by whatever their mandate is for a certain situation. And very often my father could work independent of those sort of guidelines, and he would go into areas that, you know, that would maybe cross different political lines, and also you know, basically because of the makeup of the war, he might have connections on his own that would take him other places. Again, that maybe say a conventional investigator or certainly someone, say, from the, you know, the U.S. government or somebody else couldn't officially go to. And I thought that he might, you know, might have made some, you know, some statements or made some sort of indications to people there who might be more willing to come up to me, you know, in a family capacity than to come up to somebody who's there in an official capacity.
What's a typical day like now on your search?
Well, it's changed faces over the past few months. We went from a whole big, almost three-ring circus, you know, with you know, the Russian, you know, security bureau looking for him, along with various Ingush officials from the neighboring Republic of Ingushetia, you know, some people from his company, Intertech, that's based in Dallas, and also another family member. And you know, eventually, and there was also, you know, embassy involvement from Moscow, and that went hard and fast for about you know, about 6 weeks, and all of those entities are still involved, but essentially, you know, you run out of a commitment that you can leave people in the field that long. So it's kind of gone now to very much a kind of a grassroots approach. It's down to a representative from my father's company, myself, and usually an interpreter, and we usually get up and get into an old Russian ambulance, similar, unfortunately, to the one that Fred went missing in, and just drive into Chechnya, and we try to basically address new areas that we haven't gone to before. And with, you know, with the sweep that the Russians have made since May, there's a lot of areas that are opening up now, and we're trying to go to these new areas, and we pass out flyers We talk to people in the market. You know, we go and we try to, you know, we try to talk to the women in the villages who usually know a whole lot more, you know, through their own network. And we just have tried to basically put together the pieces of the puzzle one by one and go back and create the trail. We've gone on both sides. We've worked within the part of Chechnya that's now being occupied by the Russians and the Russian military, and we've also, you know, crossed over the lines into Chechnya area and basically tried to establish permanent ties on both and channels of communication.
Are there a lot of con artists and opportunists who are telling you that they know where your father is, and what they really want is for you to pay them off?
Yeah, it's unbelievable the extortion attempts we've had. Everything from the really pathetic, forged notes to basically just bald faced lies that we have him and you need to give us this to secure his release. And yeah, it's been a real zoo. I mean, we're the biggest show in town, so everybody knows where we are.
My guest is Craig Cuney. He's searching for his father, Fred Cuney, an American relief expert who disappeared in April while on a humanitarian mission in Chechnya. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Craig Cuney. His father, Fred Cuney, disappeared last April while on a humanitarian mission in Chechnya. Do you have any theories about what could have happened to your father?
I do. We have a couple of theories, couple that aren't so pleasant and a couple that are. One theory is that he basically could have been in the wrong place at the wrong time. Around the time he went missing, there was some activity in the area that happened in a couple of villages where there were some pretty intense fights. There were apparently quite a few human rights abuses, and that was right around the time that he would have been in some of these areas. And if he saw the wrong thing by either side, basically it could have been just a matter of getting rid of somebody who they knew had the influence and the visibility to get the story out and shed a negative light on their cause. On the other hand, one of the better case scenarios is that somebody's, feeling a little bit caged, and they again recognize my father's stature in the international community, and they're kind of holding him as their ace in the hole for when this war comes to an end. And maybe it's a passage to Turkey. Maybe it's a ransom down the line for whatever they need, or there's any number of scenarios. But we've kind of, just by the process of elimination, we've kind of scaled back the possibility of a direct ransom for ransom's sake, simply because nobody's approached this with a viable offer. The bad case scenarios are that something did happen to him. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and my biggest fear, to be honest with you, is that we'll never find out anything. It's the biggest fear is that we won't ever have any closure for this.
I guess that would really be awful. Have you become almost superstitious? Since you don't have any hard facts. Are you looking for signs and symbols and feelings that you can work with?
Yeah, I look into the face of every rock and look for a treasure map, and I've listened to every palm reader and psychic, and anybody who wants to smell one of my dad's old smelly socks. I've become incredibly superstitious, and I basically, my idea is I'll talk to anybody who thinks that they have an idea on how to solve this whole thing. So,
have most of the soldiers at the military checkpoints heard of your father?
Yeah, actually, they have by now, because at first we were having real trouble getting through, and so we kind of decided to turn things around on them a bit rather than them turn us around. Basically, when they pull us over at the checkpoints, what we do is we jump out at them and come flying at him. My interpreter and myself come out with, you know, flyers, and hi, you know, I start going through this regular spiel, you know, hi, my name's Craig Cuny, I'm here looking for my father, he's a humanitarian. And, you know, nowadays we have this big picture of Fred on the front of the ambulance. In fact, we call it the Fredbulance. when they see us coming, you know, they're like, oh, geez, here come those kooks, you know. Don't, whatever you do, don't stop them, you know. They'll get out and talk your ear off for half an hour, you know. So, yeah, we've passed out some cigarettes and made some friends, and as much as anything now, they know it when we're pulling up. They know who we are and what we're there for, so.
A couple of months ago, a body was found that was believed to be your father's body. The face was burned off by sulfuric acid. It turned out not to be your father. What was that experience like when you thought that it might be him?
Boy, I tell you, that was just, that was kind of the pinnacle of emotions for us. We were, we had just finished meeting a lot of the administration at the summit, and we had that story actually come to us while, literally hours before we were to go in and meet Clinton and Christopher and a couple of the other people, and we were kind of doing all we could to keep a straight face and you know, try to maintain our cool through the meetings, you know, knowing what we knew, and still ask for what we wanted to in case, you know, this didn't turn out to be Fred, which, you know, luckily it didn't. You know, I think that kind of brought everything to a head. But my Uncle Chris pointed out a good antidote to it all. I think we kind of got our grieving out at that point. You know, I mean, I think at that point we were so sure, and people were telling us, you know, we're 90% sure that's it. You know, I think at that point we kind of, you know, let ourselves, you know, get over it and really address it and, you know, work toward what we needed to, you know, to kind of, you know, work through it. And then we just got very businesslike about it and said, well, you know, let's get some dental records. Let's get to the body. Let's take care of this and wrap it up. And then, you know, of course, it turned out to be quite an ordeal because the body was far inside of Chechen-held area. And it took us another 2 weeks from the first report to finally get in and make a positive, negative identification, if you will. And, yeah, I think that was, again, I think that was a dramatic point in the whole operation.
What do you do in the time that you're not actively searching? Is there any time like that?
Well, you know, you get up in the morning and you take off and just, you know, it's the little things that drive you crazy in life, of course, but you know, this old ambulance isn't exactly the most mechanically sound thing. So, you know, in your spare time, you're doing stuff like, you know, rebuilding carburetors, and you're going down to the market and pointing at, you know, vegetables, and you know, you're just trying to do the little things that, you know, that make you get by. But I, you know, every now and then you've got to kind of, you know, give yourself some time. And you know, in one of the weirder scenarios, you know, is there's this beautiful river that runs right through the middle of kind of where the front line is right now. And it's the old Aza River. So I've got an interpreter there who's been a big part of keeping my sanity. He's a blues guitarist from Utah. And basically what we do is we go over to the old Aza River and kind of open up the back of the ambulance and pull the stretchers out and put our best Willie Dixon tape on and kind of kick around in the river all day and kind of forget about what in the hell we're there for.
Right. Now that you've been spending months in Chechnya searching for your father, are there things you understand about him and about his work that you never quite did before?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that the most impressive thing to me, again, has just been the outpouring of sentiment from everywhere, from all over the world. You know, he was so well respected by all sides of this conflict, even that it's just been amazing to me the impact he can have on a scenario, even though he had probably, you know, total time only been there for maybe six or eight weeks.
Do you take your cues from him about how to deal with danger?
Probably, and maybe I should get another consultant. But I probably think a little bit too much like him sometimes.
What do you mean, unfortunately?
Well, he's never been one to shy away from something that if there's a direct way of doing something and a way of avoiding the long route, he'll do it. And that's how he's achieved so many things in his life. But who knows? Maybe that's what got him in trouble this time. Who knows?
When do you plan on going back to Chechnya to continue the search?
I'm basically waiting on a visa, and I think it probably should come in the next day or two, and I would like to be on a plane this weekend if possible.
Craig Cuny, he spoke to us from San Antonio. His missing father, Fred Cuny, lives in Dallas, where he heads the Intertect Relief and Reconstruction Corporation. This is Fresh Air.